You're listening to What Do You Know on News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. Arnie Sherman, good Sunday morning. Where are you today?
Scott, we're doing this show. You from Missoula, Montana, and me from Manhattan, New York City, Central Park.
Wonderful. How long have you been there for?
So, people have fallen to two categories that I know. Either they live in the city and they vacation in the country, like all the people that are coming to Montana from California, New York this summer, or you live in the country and you vacation in the city. And so I'm spending the month of August in New York City, my, you know, birth town. I haven't spent more than a week here since I was 17 years old. And wow. So I thought it would be a good experience to come here and do all the things that you can't do when you come here for a week.
Well, tell me, what have you been doing?
I've gone to Yankee games. I went to my first time I went to Citi Field. So the Mets play the Dodgers. I've been to the Museum of Modern Art. I've been to the Natural History Museum, Hayden Planetarium. I went to Ellis Island to see where my grandparents came through. I'd never been to Ellis Island. You know, 12 million American immigrants came through Ellis Island, and all of my grandparents were part of that. So I walked on the same cobblestone steps as they did, the Statue of Liberty. I went up to Harlem and went to Minton's Jazz Club. And there's an old decommissioned Navy boat that's parked right on 125th Street and the Hudson River called the Baylander, and went there and met with some friends and sure. Sat there on the Hudson River. Bemelman's, you know, the great Bemelman's and the Cafe Carlisle, one of the last two or three places in the world where you can go and sit and listen to a pianist in a tuxedo playing great music. Lots of restaurants, lots of good food, and ran into Maria Loy, who a very interesting woman. She has a restaurant right around the corner from where I'm staying called Loy Estratorio. And Maria is an entrepreneur, an author, a philanthropist, a celebrity chef. She's considered the Julia Child of Greece. And she has a PBS, a TV series called The Life of Loy. She cooked for Obama in the White House when he was president. Wow. She was a lobbyist in her earlier life in Europe for many large global companies. She's a philanthropist. She's involved in children's charities.
She sounds like a fascinating guest.
Right. 36 cookbooks she's written, and she does something that both of us need. She's committed to helping people have a healthy diet and correct the things that are wrong with them, whether it's you know high blood pressure or cholesterol or gout or being overweight, by really using the Mediterranean diet, which is so acclaimed by most doctors. You know, among all the diets out there,
right,
the Mediterranean is the one that seems to have the most efficacy, and she's a huge proponent of eating healthy and eating a balanced nutritious diet.
She's going to be this is going to be a lively guest, I'm sure. I can't wait. Arnie, I'm glad you're enjoying New York. We miss you here in Missoula, but let's use the next hour to meet Maria Loy. Back after this.
Hunter Bay.
We are back with our guest, Chef Maria Loy.
Well, you know, it's good to have Maria on the show. I stumbled into this fantastic restaurant in New York during my visit here, and we became fast friends. And lo and behold, you know, Maria is a, you know, internationally recognized chef, author, entrepreneur, philanthropist. We're having dinner at a restaurant, and the next morning she's on TV with Ryan Seacrest. And, you know, it's just an amazing experience. And I thought that we ought to have her on the show and talk to her about her life and her experiences and her fantastic restaurant. And you know how much we love food. So
sure do.
So for our guests, for our listeners, Maria, how are you doing today?
I'm amazing. You know, I cannot believe that I am in Montana.
Yes. By virtue of this show, yes, you are now an official Montanan.
Exactly. I used, you know, like to see Montana, you know, like through, of course, pictures. You
right.
Know, all that. And those beautiful mountains. And I have a few friends there, I have to tell you. And I hope that I will be your friend. And through the radio, the show, I will get many, many, many more friends from Montana.
Well, you certainly have Scott and I as friends. And by the way, Scott, we are recording this for Maria's restaurant, which is pronounced for our listeners, Loy Estuatorio.
Bravo.
And it's a fantastic place. I've eaten here 3 times already and we'll continue to eat here.
What's the location, Arnie? What's the location?
We're on 58th between 6th and 7th.
And that's my old
location.
Right. That's my old neighborhood. That's my old neighborhood, Maria. I used to work at Radio City and I used to work on Times Square at BMG and Bertelsmann. So your places, that whole area was the area that we used to eat at. That was our place. Yes. For lunch.
And now it's the they call it the, you know, the beginner's row. But yeah. And they said to me, you're very lucky. I said, yeah, of course I'm very lucky because I'm the only restaurant on 58th Street. So you don't even have to say 132 West. You know, you just say a restaurant 58 between 6 and 7 and you come to Loy Estuatorio.
Well, and what's amazing about it, Scott, is during the entire pandemic, Maria never closed. She stayed open through the entire pandemic.
Yes. We got an award, actually, too, from the city. And because we wanted to not to help, to give ourselves to doctors, nurses. And every day we were cooking from 8 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night. And we were delivering ourselves. And we had friends that they were helping us. And we are so happy that we have done this. And we had also our homeless people. We had 150 homeless people every day.
Every day?
Every day outside.
But you were feeding.
But now we have 15 only.
Right.
But now we got to know them. You know, I know Mark wants his burger medium rare. You know, Iris, she wants pasta and the chicken. And she wants also a Chanel lipstick. They're so beautiful stories.
I was going to say, Chef Loy, to be able to not close means that you were prepared, right? In a way, as a business, to be able to act quickly. Talk a little bit about that. How, like, your business philosophy, so that how did you not close, right? Because a lot of places did close.
Yes. Actually, for the first month, we were the only restaurant in New York that was open. So,
wow.
I have to tell you, being Greek, I have courage, okay? And I have philoxenia. We have philotimo. You need to have this and to embody that, the time that is difficult for others. And that's exactly what we've done. When the government says, listen, we have to close, you know, we cannot do that. If you want to have some delivery and take out, but we are very fast to adapt in a new situation. And I have a great team because my team is, since I came to New York to live in the States, so 9.5 years, almost 10 years now, the same people. And we say, we just had to look in our eyes together and we say, no, we are going to stay open for them.
Because were you able to maintain operations and keep your staff employed, or did you have to do shifts and things?
We had to do shifts because we couldn't be all together, you know, in the same room, you know. But my staff, they were not unemployed. Actually, we were helping their families as well and other families next to them. You know, my chef Felipe, he was taking product because thank God we have a lot of product, you know, under the Loy brand, olive oil, you know, beans, pasta, all of that. And it was easy for us to have, the first things that the material that we wanted to cook with. And we had, and others, Sparta Gourmet, they send us extra olive oil, you know, tomatoes and you know, the Greek cuisine. It's very easy and healthy when you have the good ingredients. Me so, too. And that's what we've done.
Yes. And you know, every time I walk by the restaurant, which is every day because I'm staying right up the street. Maria's here. She's holding court. She's talking to every patron of the restaurant. Everybody knows her. It becomes a neighborhood place. I was with my friend Larry Harrington a few days ago, and I said, "Where are you going to go to dinner?" He said, "Well, my friend says you have to go to Loy's restaurant." And he came in, and I mean, it's become like the neighborhood go-to place.
Yep. We have 82% return customers, 82%. It's huge.
You know, growing up in the tri-state area, certainly New Jersey, in thinking of Greek food, we always thought of diners, right? Because New Jersey is famous, replete with diners and yeah. Greek families that come over and have menus that are 80 pages long. And we're wondering, how can they cook all those dishes? But an incredible work ethic and commitment to serving great food for their patrons. When you came to the United States, what was your concept? Like, why? How did you choose to the restaurant that you did, and the location and the food? And what was your whole philosophy behind that?
Well, I was not a chef before. I was, first of all, when I was in my village in Greece, I was a farm girl. But don't think of those farms that you have in Montana and everywhere there no. in America, okay? Like, it was like a block, like over here between 8 and 7, something like that, small. But anyway, we used to grow tobacco, corn, everything. And that's how I've learned how the ingredients and how they are the ingredients that they shine and the ingredients that are bad for you. Like tobacco, for example, you know, I don't want to have it sure. in front of me. So then I became a lobbyist.
Huh.
Yes. I had, I
that's did Arnie. The Arnie, that's yeah. Arnie's world.
Marie had some of the largest corporations yeah. in the world as her clients.
Well, who are
Texaco,
they?
Texaco, right?
IDT Sheraton, Nokia, all of this. So and that taught me actually many things in my life. And resilience, you know. Either my father taught me how to have resilience and, you know, to be myself and not to put down myself, not to put other people down, other lives down. So that's how I could do that, you know. And then I became a chef. By the way,
when after, do you mind me asking how old you were when you became a chef?
Oh yeah, it's very easy. So I was 40 something. Yeah.
Wow.
Because yeah, it has nothing to do because I used to cook for my house. A poor family, you know, needed someone, a chef there, and we were 5 kids. You know, my parents, you know, grandparents, friends that they were coming to the house, you know. I used to cook amazing meals. My first meal that I cooked, it was meatballs, you know, for my father mm-hmm. when my mother was sick. And then they made me the chef in the house. That's what I am.
So by necessity.
So yeah. Not only is Maria chef of the house, but she's written 36 cookbooks.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. She's gone a little bit beyond just being the chef of the house. You know, she has a PBS show called Life of Loy.
Yep.
And she's, you know, traveling around the, you know, the world and showing food yep. from all over the world. She's written the books. She has a foundation and she's doing yep. philanthropy. And she's an advocate. So I sound like I'm her publicist. She's an advocate.
I don't have a publicist.
For healthy. I know you do it all.
You're your publicist.
Yeah. She's an advocate for healthy
yeah.
eating and healthy diets.
Talk a little bit about that because I'm very curious. You know, people.
We need it. We both need a healthy diet.
Well, you talk about the idea of for the United States creating a food czar, right? So that kids' lunches are healthy and that we don't let these multinational corporations just jam junk food down to the consumers, that we need to know, like, what is a healthy, well-balanced, clean diet and meal? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
It's so easy because people, they think, oh, it's very expensive. No, it's not. You can have a good tomato, one. You don't need 5 of those, you know, to go there. Make sure that it's organic. You just have an olive oil, a bottle of olive oil, put that, and a piece of bread. That's a full meal. People don't understand that. that we don't need these fancy sauces and that and this. You know, like everybody says, oh, we have to do this fish, you know, with butter. And I say, if you do the fish with butter, then it's not a fish anymore. It's just a meal with butter. So this is the knowledge. That's what we have to teach our kids, actually. And we have to speak to those big companies, and we have to speak to the government, you know, to tell them, stop buying for the schools those products, because for me, they're just a product. They don't have nutrition. And also, they get used to sugar, which is the worst thing. You create a world with diabetes.
And obesity. And obesity.
Yes, well, that's what happened with Native Americans. When the government started giving them food, they started getting diabetes because they weren't used to eating sugar.
So it's so easy to change it. We just have to take the message out there. And that's what we're doing with our show, like The Life of Loy. We are just showing how simple it is to eat food that you can have, you know, when you have the corn, for example, you have over there, because I love corn as well. I love all these greens, you know. You just make, even if you have 1,000 square feet next to your house, okay, just plant a few, like, plants of tomato.
A home garden.
Onions. Yeah, just a small garden.
Zucchini.
Yeah, and then you don't need the money to go out and buy it.
Chef Loy, are you supportive of buy local, farm local, from farm to table, right? And that being a really smart philosophy that we should employ all across the country. But also, how about school lunches, and trying to bring that type of philosophy into the school lunch program, because that's really where good eating habits starts.
Yes, you know, when you have the lunch box, you just put a very good piece of bread, and not that white piece of bread, you know, that and they put also mayonnaise, you know, butter and all that. Right over there, you have the fat that your kid, you know, should not eat, okay? You need fat, but you need the good fat, like the olive oil. And you will say, okay, we're not going to have olive oil because we're bringing it from Greece or we're bringing it from Italy. But the difference is when you go and buy that bad butter, because it could be butter, you know, from goats and other milk, okay? And it will be very good for you as well, but not too much, because it increases your cholesterol, and that's what you have to know. Of course, you say, oh, and how do I expect, you know, the mother, you know, to know that, who's planning to do the lunchbox? The mother, and I, especially the new mothers now, they have internet. They have everything. They don't have to, I'm sorry to say that, but not only to look, you know, what some families, you know, I don't want to name a few, you know, they're doing in their lives. Check what I should give to my kid. You know what? It has to be healthy. And you can have a slice of tomato, a slice of cheese, okay? Not that processed cheese. It has to be the good one. They have around America very good cheese. It doesn't have to be feta from Greece or Parmigiano, you know, from Italy. And you can give it to your kid and a piece of fruit. And that's what he needs for
that's a healthy meal. Do you think that we are, especially in the United States, we're so consumed, no pun intended, with portion size and value? And talk about that, because I think people overeat because it's on their plate, you know?
Actually, you brought something very, very good on that. When you have, don't buy a big lunch box to your kid. Buy a small one, and it's not heavy as well. So a child, you know, it's not an adult. So it's better to be, you know, his measurement, you know, like a small box, okay? Mm-hmm. And then put half of the tomato, because they cannot eat it. Put half of the piece of cheese, half of the, and then you can have it for next morning as well. You save money, so it's not expensive.
Right.
But also, it's very healthy. You should not eat more from what you need.
How many meals do you advocate? Like what? Like a day? Like how many meals, whether they are full meals or snacks, should people really focus on?
Yeah, it should be the three meals, okay, and also a snack. Snack could be a good yogurt, you know, not 0%, full fat, please, okay, And then the mother, for example, she can get, you know, the yogurt, and then she can take another small vessel to put it in there, you know. So she can divide for 3 days the yogurt. Immediately becomes inexpensive and healthy.
So you don't advocate for all those calorie controlled, reduced calories.
No, I don't.
You want full food, but yes, but smaller portions.
Yes. And also, you don't check how many calories you spend. If you check how many toxins, you have to read the ingredients. And if it's like more than five of those, don't buy it, because it's not the right thing.
Process.
And as I say, if your grandmother doesn't recognize it, don't buy it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's a smart way to look at it.
I did it. So I'm sorry. Go, Arnie.
I was going to say that Maria doesn't like being called a celebrity chef, but I do have to say that in 2012, you cooked for several days at the White House for President Obama and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like?
This is amazing, because they're very nice people. And it's so funny, because the kitchen, you know, the president says, how do you like it? I said, well, my kitchen is better than yours. because of its people. The people, they are very good, but they need some more things in the kitchen. And
right.
I think they bought it.
Good. And what did he like the best that you made for?
Right.
I think that the baklava, but you know, we harvest the honey, which I don't think that it's still there now, the beehives, and it was a fabulous garden, beautiful garden outside, you know, the...
Wow. Somebody got rid of that garden.
I hope that they will grow again, this garden, never get... And they had beehives, and we harvest the honey from the beehives there to make the baklava. Yes, it's so beautiful. That's what everyone has to do. Even by our window, even if we are, you know, in the big building, by our window, put it in a small pot, in a small cup, put some parsley, mint, and this will change your life. And also, it's not only the kids that we have to take care of. We have to take care of us. And our children, you know, they will see. Because they mimic, you know, like when they see the father, what they eat, the mother, they eat the same thing. And we have to have a plate, and we just remind yourself to cut like a cross and say, three parts, we have to put either pasta, greens, you know, like beans, and the other one, oh, that's good, but it has to be, I divide with four.
Okay, four.
I see that the plate that
I'm showing Maria a plate that I have that I've divided into three and fat and I have fat and dairy and then starches, vegetables, and protein are my three.
All right. So put less dairy. Okay.
Yes.
And then you put greens, put a lot of salad, greens, leafy greens, you know, like dark as much as you can.
Yes.
Put beans, you know, lentils, all of that. And then I know that you're in the middle of America, you eat meat, okay? And if you can have like 1/4 in your plate the meat, and then you will start and you won't eat a lot. And that's the point. When you have like the protein, you know, animal protein, less animal protein, it's better. And if you can eat fish, and we don't say that, okay, you're Greek because you can bring the fish, you know, every day from Greece, you can have it. No, there's very good frozen fish in the market.
Yes. No, I know.
But you have to check if it's sustainable. First of all, you have to read what it is. And then fish needs 3 minutes to cook. Three minutes. It's difficult,
fish.
But it's not. It's not difficult. You just have a pan and those, the cast iron pans. I love those old ones, you know, like, wow. And then heat it up, put the fish in there for a minute, put it just a drop of olive oil, and then you add some, take the fish out, add some onion. See, I'm giving you a recipe now.
Right.
But this is interesting, Chef Roy, because you're just talking about basic common sense nutrition, diets, fad diets, paleo. No, just eat sensibly and portion control, and you'll be on the right path.
Yeah, we don't have to invent the wheel. You know, Hippocrates says that so many thousands of years now, you know, what to do. And that's the best diet in the world, you know, because it's been proved that olive oil has been proved with so many research. So,
yeah. Is there a country that you've been to where people adhere to the best diet? I mean, where in the world are people the best about this?
Well, first of all, I like to say that I am the best, or they're the best, and one of the best.
Right.
Would be that. And there, and you cannot go to China and say you have to have the Greek diet.
Right.
Okay. But now the way that the world has changed, okay, and we mix the food.
Right.
So now, I went to Japan, for example, and the Japanese now they grow olive trees in Okinawa. So because of the olive oil, they saw, you know, how good it is for their body, for their brain on them. Right. So that's what we have to adapt. You know, you go to Italy. If you go to southern Italy, it's different. Half, you know, northern Italy is different food.
Right.
So it's not that the countries, it's the communities that they make, you know, the food.
Arnie, didn't we have a guest on that talked about there's a county and a city in California, maybe it's on the coast, where the average age of the citizen is like, they have more septuagenarians than anywhere because of their Mediterranean diet. I forget who told us that.
It wasn't on our show. I don't think. It was maybe on.
There are many of those. There are many. We have here in our restaurant that we're doing, you know, during COVID, for example, you know, we had people that they had COVID, and every day we were giving them the food, you know, the beans, the olive oil, the yogurt, you know, the tea, the oregano, and they didn't go to the hospital. Everyone was almost dying. And in a week, they were getting up there. So because I work with Harvard University School of Public Health with Professor Kallas, and we're doing something very big and very nice and with the Culinary Institute of America.
Wow.
But yeah, and this, it was a proof. So I have my business partner, he had cholesterol. He doesn't take any medicine anymore. Many people around us.
Let me ask you a question. I have cholesterol. I also started to have gout, which is foods that are high in purine. And it only happened when I moved out here. And I have cut out red meat, cut out pork, cut out most alcohol, if not all. Okay. What else would you recommend I do? Well,
I will give you the whole thing. First of all, I will send you my book, The Greek Diet.
Okay.
You read it. It's easy to read that book. Okay. Because I explain why I'm writing this. Like that's my life, you know. And then you have to eat beans, all of that. We have to talk together, and we have to find the way how to do it, because we say, okay, it's easy to make and give you a diet. No, because when you work in the office, you have to make this food either Sundays, whenever you have off, but you can keep it in your freezer and it will make your life easier, because otherwise it will be only 5 days. And after that, they say, I cannot do it.
That's right.
So it's a way of living. It's not only what you eat.
You actually, let's do a quick ID. Our guest is Chef Maria Loy of Loy Foods, the founder of Loy Foods, and Lo Esteatorio. Maria, you brought up an excellent point, which is it's not diet necessarily only. There's also sleep, physical activity.
Lifestyle.
Talk a little bit about that and how you feel about that.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. Okay. And I'm super busy. People, they think that I say, no, if I can do it, you can do it. You know, when I get in the morning, first of all, I drink 2 spoons of olive oil. Immediately, I have them next to my bed. Then I put on my shoes and into the park. I go around. I don't run because it's I'm not 20 anymore. Okay. I work very fast, actually. And we have all our, you know, our people now, whoever lives here, we have a meeting at the horse. We say at the horse. And we meet over there, and then we go into the park all together. It's fun. It's happiness. It's not something that you don't want to do, or you say, oh, I don't want to do it today, you know? And so we come back, okay? I eat yogurt or fruit or whatever I want, okay? Start working. Then, of course, I will have lunch, fish, bean soup, whatever, you know, everyone likes here, okay? In the afternoon, again, I have my mountain tea. I have, usually people, they eat nuts in the morning, which is good. But I like to eat in the afternoon as a snack,
right? You know,
and special, and lately, I love the nuts from, it's in Mexico, not only Mexico. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, so that's the pecan nuts.
Pecans.
Yeah, pecans. Oh, they're amazing, you know, like
they're Dr. tasty.
Gonzalez. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh God.
You can get those, Arnie, from Costco.
Yeah. I don't know where you can get them, but you know,
Costco.
I love that. They're organic.
That's for us here. But how about the importance of sleep? Do you, you work very hard. Do you get a good night's sleep every night?
That's actually, I sleep very well. I just need even a chair and I can sleep because it's just so what you have done all the night. And in the evening, I don't eat very heavily, okay? But I always have a glass of wine. It's good to have a glass of wine. It's good to have company, not to eat alone. And whoever, you know, comes to the restaurant and he says, I'm by myself. I need just a table for one. I said, it's not just for one. We're going to be with you. And I'm sitting with them. And then we become friends. And then they bring the family and they are happy. So when you see somebody eating alone, just say hello to him or to her and say, let's sit down. Let's talk. You know, as I said, it's a way of living. It's not what you eat only. And then we can change the world. One healthy bite at a time. That's what I say.
You're an advocate for healthy diet. You know, and healthy diet can eliminate for a lot of people the medication they're on.
Oh, yes.
For sure. Things like diabetic medication and cholesterol medication.
Heart
medication. Yeah. I mean, diet is the key to all of those things.
Exactly.
You have a line of food products now, specialty products. Mm-hmm. How did you decide what to put in your product line?
Oh, so easy. You know, you just go to Greece, get the black honey that my grandfather taught me how to harvest, okay? And I get, you know, before I go to sleep, I have half a teaspoon of my black honey, the Loi Meli, that it's so good, and it's antimicrobial. You know, whatever you get in your body, it goes out, you know.
The honey does that.
Yes.
Yes.
But and it was easy. You know, I grew up, like I said, you know, with beans, you know, greens, all of that. So when I was a lobbyist, I was not like this. I was almost obese. You know, that's what I said.
Because you're running around eating at restaurants, meals, lunches, dinner.
Also, I have adapted the Western diet in a way of I was going. I don't want to say, you know, I was coming to the United States, even in England, everywhere, you know, a lot of butter, all of, oof, God. You know, bad, very bad things, you know. And I thought that that was the life. No. And I was unhappy because food makes you happy and unhappy in your brain.
Right.
Also, I was not myself. And that's what I said. That's it. No more. I make money, but I'm going to lose myself. And that's why I left of being a lobbyist. And that's why I started. You know, I went back to my roots. And started cooking, planting again, all of that. And then, of course, being in the environment, they wanted me to have a show on TV, even though that I have built a TV channel and a radio station. I know your work. Mm-hmm. So how hard it is. Yes. And then all of a sudden, everything, I became number one in Greece, you know, on TV, all of it. And then I came here to advise somebody else to get the restaurant that I had before on 70th Street, 70, you know.
70th, yeah.
So, and I said, no, I want to get that. I was crazy. And my show was starting September 11, actually.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then I said, I can't. I went back to Greece. I picked up my, and I said, I'm going to New York. They said, what? They thought that I was crazy, you know, all of that. So, and then I came here. We opened that restaurant up there. And
on 70th.
Yes.
What was the name of that restaurant?
That was Loi Restaurant. This is Loi Estiatori. Estiatorio means restaurant, but I wanted to be different a bit. And I had my friends, you know, who are Jewish, and they said that, Maria, you know, what are you doing? Were you going to New York? You could come because they have hotels, you know, David Stein in Mallorca, South, and all over Europe. He says, we can work with together if you want to open new restaurants. I said, no. And he says, where are you going? I said, on the Upper West Side. He says, okay, at least you're going to the new Holy Land.
That's funny. Yeah,
I'm kind of you know, like my ancestors. They come from Spain, and my last name was Levy before he changed to Loi. And so, yeah, I went right in the environment. You know, so it was very good. But after that, I left from there because they wanted to take 20% of my business or to double my rent. And I said goodbye.
Right.
Let's go. Don't be afraid. That's what I said to my people. Don't be afraid. Do whatever you want. You will succeed. And that's why I came, you know, to 58th Street, because they called me. And now we have one third of the expenses, five times up the business.
Amazing. Has anybody approached you about taking your concept to other cities?
Oh, yes. I have many emails. But I don't want to do that because I will dilute my brand. And I'm not ready yet, maybe after a year, because we have many products in the market. We sell to many supermarkets around America.
I see that. Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, because we want to put, first of all, our products. So this way I can have the ingredients after that. Or whoever wants to open a Loi Estiatorio, you know, will have the ingredients next door. It will be easy.
They can access it, greater access.
Exactly. Yes.
Chef Loi, question for you. So, and Arnie, I did, in my research for today's show, I did a little research. You know, the food services business is the, in general, is the second largest business in the United States behind government. It's a $1.5 trillion business. Okay. A 5.5% represent of the GDP. 75% of the seafood in the United States is sold through restaurants, which I know is a staple of the Greek diet. I say that to you because folks like yourself, Danny Myers, Chef Andres, Flay, Andrew Zimmern, all these people are today leaders. They're like what rock stars were 20 years ago. Because food is so central to how Americans think and how they and they look forward to it. They love food, right? I say that to you because you really have a, in many ways, you're like a, in the community, you're a leader. You're setting trends. You're helping people, like we just talked about for the last 20 minutes, talk about diet. The food services industry, after, you know, to your point, you rose during COVID. You actually were able to persevere and provide a strong community, you know, effort. The food service industry, though, really does need to go through a transformation, right? Because living wages, living wages, what people are charged for food, right? You know, it's, you're not charged what you should be charged for food. You're probably undercharged for certain dishes, right? Because of the cost of food. I am curious to know your thoughts on, like, you know, how do you pay a fair living wage to somebody that lives in a, works at a restaurant, right? How do you reform that system so that, you know, you guys are making money? Because I know that the bar usually, Arnie and I have worked with a number of restaurant people here in Montana and had them on our show. And they say, like, well, the bar makes up for what we lose in the margins on food. So I'm curious, talk a little bit about reform and where you stand in that space.
Well, as I say to my colleagues, I said, please change what you're buying. First of all, you have to think that you have a family in a restaurant. And in a, is it small or bigger or very big? So you have to see your colleagues that they are your family. They are your kids, brother, sister, mother, whatever it is. Because if you don't have them, you're not going to make anything. If I didn't have my team, I couldn't have done whatever I've done until now and whatever I plan to do. So after that, it's you don't have to put gold on the wall. You don't have to make those restaurants that they used to do to show off. You know, you have to show your food, the real food. And it's easier to make real food and not to make the fancy food that you will be needing money. And also it's not healthy. Yeah. So what you have to give to the world, first of all, it's your world. If you are, you know, in your house and you have all the garbage in your garden outside in your door, will you have a nice life? No, it's poison, right? So first of all, you have to clean your restaurant. Not, I mean, cleaning, by making it like clean and nice house like we had in the old days.
And healthy.
Yes, it will be healthy.
For the restaurant, for the patron and for the worker.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if you have good ingredients, you don't need to buy a lot. As I said before, like you need half a tomato to put in a salad. You don't need three tomatoes, you know, like to put a lot in order to show that, oh, we give you that. No. But also you educate the person who is eating what is good for them. So this way will change. And we have to give money because I'm not against. Actually, I'm one of those that say that we have to pay our workers.
So will you institute a service charge? Or have you instituted a service charge?
No, because this one, someone who walks in, for example, last night we had a customer that he was so much satisfied, the check was 250 and he gave 600. Got so it. Why I have to put that?
Mm-hmm. You know? So tips.
First of all, I come in and the first $100 comes from me. So I say, here, guys, good luck. And they're very happy.
Mm-hmm. I see. So you subsidize that.
Of course. You know why? Why you need to have like the millions and the people next to you not to have, you know, anything to eat or anything to go and buy something. You're like their kids.
Right.
All right. Whatever they want. They want to go on vacation. I give them for my money. It's not only that they get paid. Okay. It's not that we say, oh, you're not out. No. Give them 2,000 more to have fun with their kids and they will come back. First of all, they will be healthier in their brain, as I said, you know.
Sure.
They will love you. They will love the work. They will love whoever is coming in. And then you will have better business.
So, Scott, on top of all of this, the cookbooks, the TV shows, the celebrity appearances, the restaurant, the specialty brands, Maria also has a foundation and is a philanthropist. So will you tell us what you're doing with your foundation? Yeah.
Actually, we're with Nika Torres, you know, the Lukumi Foundation that is, and especially the Lukumi Kids Club, that they are kids that are doing good deeds for many. So they open rooms in St. Jude's. Now we're building a kitchen, teaching kitchen, the hospital near here, in the floating hospital that takes care of people in need. And for over 100 years now, my God, these people are amazing. So we work with others, the Center for Discovery, with Upstate New York, whatever, you know, whatever it is, homeless, everyone, you know, whoever is in need. We love people.
I think that's great. And how can people find out more about your foundation? Is there a website?
Yeah, the lukumifoundation.org.
Spell that for us.
Lukumi foundation.org. But, you know, it doesn't have to be ours. It doesn't have to be ours. Go out there. Take a piece of bread. Take something, a bottle of water, and you see a homeless. give it to them. It doesn't have to be ours. Just open your heart. And when you have open heart, everything will be better in life.
I think that's beautiful. Do you know, by the way, how Arnie came into your restaurant, okay? He is the food maven of Montana, certainly, and Missoula. And we have been trying to petition for chefs and restaurants to come out where we are because we have a huge growing population, right? And people are coming from New York and coming from California and bigger cities, and their expectation is that there's going to be better food where they are in Montana. So there's going to be a revolution.
We've already invited. You know, our house is Maria's house. She can come out anytime and visit and visit Missoula, you know, and the rest of the state.
Of course, I will come. And really, I accept it already. And I think they have sent me photos where I'm going to stay. But as long we can cook a dinner, you know, with people. And of course, I'm not going to charge anything. I'm going even to bring the ingredients with me. And either we can give to people they need, or we can get them some money for people that they need it there in Montana.
You know, not only a charitable event, Scott, but I want Maria to maybe lecture at the Missoula College, the culinary program.
A great idea, Arnie.
It would be really great for them to have you there.
I really love that.
Well, we're involved with the Missoula Food Bank and the Montana Food Bank. And that's the nice thing about radio, is that we're involved in so many community things. So when we bring you out, we'll have a full itinerary for you. And quite frankly, Montana is, you see it a lot in the news these days. We're always the center of something, whether it is telling off Tucker Carlson, right?
Yeah.
One of our fishing guides just did that. Or it's adding another House of Representative because of population growth. We're a growth market. We're an inland growth market, Maria. We want you here.
That's very good. But I just want, before that, you know, did you get vaccinated, people?
Of course. I'm waiting to get my third shot. September 20th.
Me too.
You're allowed to get your third shot. I'm going to get my third shot.
You know, what about people in Montana? I have to check on that.
No, well, they're not as good.
Well, Missoula is the highest. Missoula, where we are, is the highest. I think it's at 65%.
That's excellent. And could you please influence others? And it's nonsense what they said, that you're going to have.
Well, you saw the governor of Texas got COVID. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, I'm sorry. I think that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that. Yeah. But I wish that everything will go well for him. But, but you know, we have others, you know, that they say that, oh, don't get vaccinated. Ooh. Don't put masks. You know, that's ridiculous.
Right. They have a word for that in Yiddish. It's called putz. Let's take a quick break. Our guest is Maria Loy, Chef Maria Loy, back after this. We're back with our guest, Chef Maria Loy.
So, Maria, how do our listeners find out about your restaurant, your food products, your foundation? Give us all the coordinates so they can check it out.
Well, they can go to at Chef Maria Loy, you know, and Facebook, Instagram, all of these new social media, and they can check. They can come to Loy's Teatorio. They just have to say Montana.
Right. she'll know.
Yes. All right.
And it's spelled L-O-I, so it's Maria Loy.
Yeah. L-O-I.
So if you just Google Maria Loy, it essentially all comes up.
Yeah, and they can check, you know, they can even go to PBS Food YouTube now, and they can check the life of Loy. So, and they can have recipes, very easy recipes, you know. You'll like it.
Do you have a new season that's starting, or are you, how does that work?
We are filming now for new seasons, but you can see some of the recipes that we made already. So you can check and you will love them.
Yeah. You can go to PBS and Life of Loy.
Yeah.
And Scott, not to torture you, but when we sign off, Maria and I are having lunch here together. So you could be jealous.
Arnie, I am jealous. I'm going to have an avocado. Okay, you're in much better shape than I.
I totally.
Well, avocado is very good, but it's not just like that, you know.
I know.
You need something else.
Okay. I have some cheese and I'm going to get some grains. Yes, I'm with you. I need...
Grains is better. If you put cheese, it's too much fat and fat. Avocado has fat and fat with cheese. You know that.
So cut out the cheese. Okay, I'll use that for an afternoon snack.
Add some olive oil on the top of the avocado. It would be amazing.
I think I have some here in my office. I will do that. Seriously, but chef.
Make sure the olive oil is not a year old.
You know what? That might be a problem. You're right. I have to get new.
New olive oil.
Chef,
you learned a lot today, Scott.
Thank you for listening to What Do You Know?
I can't wait for the next show, Scott.
I'm excited too, Arnie. If you'd like to suggest a guest, send me an email at scottrichman@townsquaremedia.com. We'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to News Talk KGVO. Unused.